News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Well, we have some major announcements coming, but first, we're going to start with the El Paso History Moment, written by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. Her moment today explains how El Paso created a sheriff's posse.
Keepers of the Old West Traditions, November 13th, 1936, Sheriff Chris P. Fox invited El Pasoans to form the El Paso County Sheriff's Posse, the second of its kind in the nation. Their first official act was to escort and protect the Sun Carnival Queen during Sun Carnival events. From then on, the Sheriff's Posse became a fixture on the scene in El Paso. When Continental Airlines celebrated the opening of its new airport terminal, the posse was there, on horseback greeting the then-new DC-3s on the runway and riding their mounts to the terminal building to greet astonished passengers. Upon his arrival in El Paso, President Kennedy was greeted with Western flair by mounted possemen complete with their sidearms, much to the dismay of the Secret Service. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
He went online. Stop the banjo music. I just want to hear more banjo.
You know, I kind of think the Six Guns and Shady Ladies kind of took over that type thing, like holding up buses, you know.
Hey, you guys do all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, so that was
pretty
cool. But
the Sheriff's Posse was a formidable crowd.
They're still going strong. Yeah, they're a neat group of people. They do some great things fundraising, so they're hanging in there.
And your Alliance buddies on Facebook have 45,000 plus?
Oh, no, 47.
47.
And keep growing.
I hear a voice that says 47.
Keep growing.
But also call Bernie Nutt right now.
No. No, don't do it now. No,
581.
No, you can call him, but you can leave him a message, or the dogs might answer the phone.
What's the phone number?
915-581-7920. Hey, I remembered that.
And that's on Facebook with Barbara Givern Baney's also on there.
Oh, yes, yes.
She does wonders for us.
Well, she's historical herself, so we must say that.
The page is Remember in El Paso
When. And, you know, she does some great things with great historical pictures. Great historical stories, archives, and just wonderful stuff.
And Fred Whitlocks is one of her administrators. We'll talk about him today. And that's a good place. All right. Now for a drum roll. If you have a real drum roll. No more drum rolls. Okay.
I was doing my fingers, yes.
An actual drum roll. Now, here's the announcement. Here's what's going on. We have decided, myself and Bernie Sargent, we're cooking up an event, and we've convinced a few other people to go with us. It's called El Paso History on TV. And here's what it is. The Pioneer Association of El Paso, Texas, and Capstone Productions, Inc. today announced their co-production of a TV series for the Internet and local broadcast called El Paso History on TV. It will highlight the rich history and heritage of the El Paso region, and funding for the project was started with a grant from the Hunt Family Foundation. Additional grant funding is expected. And we also have other campaign fundings being created right now. Capstone, we've been producing radio and TV shows for 20 years, and we are now going to focus on this kind of production with the Pioneer Association with Bernie. Bernie's been around for 30 years doing history, 17 on the County Historical Commission, 15 of those as chair, and it's going to be interesting. KVIA is planning to broadcast these segments, El Paso History on TV, and we'll have a discussion, a little story tonight, apparently, on ABC7. Kevin Lovell, general manager of KVIA-TV, said, ABC has worked with both Jackson and Bernie before, and we know their depth in El Paso history and TV production. This will be a good set of illustrated descriptions of El Paso history and heritage, and he looks forward to watching the history on TV himself. Bernie, welcome here.
Thank you. Are you sure we didn't write that for Kevin?
We did, but he said it. And as it is, the history is a fun thing, as we talked in our first hour with Jim Tolbert, who's still here, and Gabe Duran. And the thing is, we're going to take this, what we think, is to another level.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to put history on TV. Explain the concept of the pieces, the segments.
Well, originally, when the Pioneer Association started many, many, many years ago, the whole idea was to perpetuate the heritage and history of El Paso. And their initial plan was they would not replace the members who initially had to live in El Paso before 1881. But they would not replace those members. They'd just allow it to die off through attrition. But it was realized quite early in the 1900s that there had to be a group of people to keep working the heritage and history of El Paso going forward. And for that reason, there's a handful of folks that have diligently done so and had done some wonderful things with regards to working with Camp Pioneer and soon the Boy Scouts and a few other organizations. And then we're also very much tuned into, for instance, the old Blue Whistler, the cannon that was that we loaned the Mexicans during their little situation over across the border. That's at Eastwood High School. Well, we're working with Eastwood right now because we loaned it to them, but we would like a little plaque that says we loaned it to them. They're going to put in a little area that will feature the cannon. It's one of their logos, so to speak, and talk with them about that. Plus, we want to do some other things to raise the awareness and perpetuate the awareness of the heritage and culture of El Paso. And the Pioneer Association is a good organization to use as the anchor for something like that.
Well, it's an old organization with a lot of new blood, and the idea is to explain El Paso history to everybody, and we're going to do it on TV. We do it every week on radio here, but reaching out on television is another whole matter entirely.
Yeah.
And if we can replicate and improve upon what Leon used to do in his little stories on TV, we're going to get a lot of people educated about our history. I don't know all of our history. I've learned what I've learned sitting right here.
And we learn stuff every week. I mean, it's unbelievable the things that we come across. I was involved with the ribbon cutting for the Wall of Giants the other day. And in doing research for the Wall of Giants, we found out about some significant El Pasoans that had a tremendous influence on the Southwest and also New Mexico and also South America, and that was Felix Martinez.
Oh, we had his discussion a couple years ago.
And so there's things like that keep popping up. And, you know, folks that have little tidbits of history share that with us, and pretty soon we've developed a whole dossier of information on that particular person.
Well, there's a lot of things in El Paso that one can look at as historic. We have all of our mission churches and the Presidio Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
We have got locations throughout the mountains of geology.
Mm-hmm.
We have instances of the Mexican Revolution all over downtown El Paso. And there's the cowboy history, the gunfighter history.
Mm-hmm.
The things that have gone on in this town are just amazing. And most of us grew up here in public schools didn't understand any of that from schools.
No.
I was never taught any of that stuff, and it kind of amazed me that I got to being 45 years old, moved back to my hometown of El Paso, and started figuring out what happened here. And I joined El Paso Archaeological Society, I joined the Historical Society, and I got to finding out we have a lot of world-class history in El Paso that we don't know about.
Correct.
And that's one thing in the first hour with Jim Tolbert, the idea he's going to start celebration of our history. And what you and I have decided to do from our perspectives is to create a vehicle for that to work. So we're putting together two-minute segments that would be starting probably in November, and we're going to air those on a regular basis, a few at first and maybe back off and make a few more, and we'll put together El Paso's history. So in certain form, after a while, you will be able to understand most any aspect of El Paso history. We're only giving you a small headline and summary of each of those topics. However, there's a lot of depth to those topics that is available to go look at. But if you don't know what the topics are, you don't know where to go look at what. I mean, this has been how I've been looking at it. And Jim Tolbert and Gabe Duran are still here. Your thoughts, gentlemen, on what we decided to do. And we're going to put this under your direction, Jim, as a first major thing to promote El Paso history on TV.
Be glad to do it. In fact, I'm excited about it. I remember the old Leon Metz spots, and I'm just excited that you all are bringing it back.
Well, we got the right guy here. Bernie has got one of the best understandings of El Paso history of anyone I have met. And when I call him up sometimes, I have to interrupt him. He's researching pictures in Yale University that you found of El Paso.
Yeah.
You did that this week.
Yeah, that was quite by accident I found that. Yeah. I was looking at a picture, a reunion picture of the Pioneer Association in 1916 that was taken at Washington Park. And on there, you could just barely make out the name of the photographer. So I keyword searched that photographer's name, and it took me to Yale University in a collection of pictures.
Of El Paso.
Well, a lot of, yeah, 24 pages. I think there's 10 on each page of El Paso pictures.
Now, who would have known to do that? You just found that by looking around. And that's what we are finding, is that there's all kinds of people who at one point or another did understand El Paso history.
Yeah.
Owen White wrote books in the early days about who was El Paso, and the people on the other end of Texas thought he was nuts. Yeah. What do you mean you have the first history of Texas in your region? Well, we're Texas. We're Austin.
And if you read one of his books, he talks about being a young boy out, and the commotion that took place at the Acme Saloon, and he and a friend of his crawled between the legs to see who was laying on the ground, and it was John Wesley Hardin.
And that guy is the one who wrote the books about what went on here in this town. And so that's what we're basically doing. We're taking a lead from our ancestors, and we're kind of focusing everything that we know, and you and I have learned quite a bit, and we don't know everything.
No, not at all.
But we're going to focus on it a two-minute piece at a time, which is a minimal exposure, but we're putting it into an arena that will get a lot of exposure on ABC7, because those newscasts obviously are very popular, and the station management understands both you and me, and they're going to watch us too. Yeah. We can't just say anything on their air, but what we're going to do is quality history pieces, and see, Kevin Lovell used to be the producer for Leon Metz on these pieces.
Yes.
Which is how he knows what we're doing is going to work, and why he said, go for it, guys. So we want to thank a few people, specifically the Hunt Family Foundation.
Absolutely.
They put in the first grant that we had to match, and we're in the process of matching it, and we have private donors who have come along. And so you have created a page that people can go to.
Yeah, GoFundMe page that we're going to be using to raise more funds for the match and for other costs that are involved with what we're trying to accomplish. So that'll be taking place. And it's really exciting. You know, when you mentioned the Leon and his programming that he did, we're taking it one level above that. We'll be using drones, which is really exciting. You'll be able to see some of that stuff, aerial views of things.
The views of some historic sites are best.
Yeah.
From a little higher altitude.
And if you also, one of the things we're doing is doing kind of a knockoff to the historic markers that the County Historic Commission was involved in and still is, where we're going to take, they have over 220 markers around the county. There's more than 220 sites. We're going to try to grab it. I call it like a bait and hitch. We're going to bait the public to watch it, and we're going to hitch them up to our history.
And as it goes, there are so many places.
What, would you just think that one up while you're standing in the studio?
Yeah. No, I just sitting here.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go back to Facebook.
Did he keep it clean?
I'm going to keep it clean.
He kept it clean. That's
good. Live with this.
But, well, the thing is, though, see, El Paso does not understand itself in general terms. We're chipping away at that. Everybody listens to the show and says, oh, look at that. I didn't know that. Look at that. And what we ask our listeners to do here, go tell a friend. Because then you'll have more people understand it. But everybody in El Paso should at least have some understanding of their own heritage, their own history. And see, I'm not from the Hispanic world, but I claim the Hispanic history of El Paso is my history. Because it happened where I was born,
here.
You know, where I live now. Yeah. And so we're all in this together. And the whole idea is to promote everything.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the examples we have to give, like MacGoffin Home. We're going to do a short piece on MacGoffin Home at some point. The mountains, we're starting with that. Waco Tanks is an obvious one. And we will not be able to do much on a two-minute piece except pique your interest and point you to a place, perhaps, where you can go find more information.
Sure, and if the listening audience has any suggestions, we're open to hear them.
We also do have a number of them laid out in advance.
We do.
And we're ready to go with the scripts on 28 of them, and we're now going and making those into screen-action shooting scripts, actually, because what we're going to do is go all over the county and find all kinds of things. The next one I want to work on, we're doing the mountains right now, you and I are. Mm-hmm. Next one that I want to work on is the Camino Real, because the Camino Real is the most historic road in North America, completely all by itself in the first place. It was it was the only road. Did you know that, Gabe?
Yes, I did.
You knew that, because Gabe's been around. But the thing is,
he's actually ridden on it.
This is true. It gives me great pleasure to tell the people in other parts of the Camino Real area, you don't have to have ruts in the desert to prove that you have a Camino Real.
Yeah.
I was told by people in northern New Mexico, you do not have a Camino Real in El Paso. You've paved it all over. No! It's right under the streets, and we use them.
Well,
you're the ones who have an abandoned Camino you don't even use. And it's now a National Historic Trail.
Yep.
See, that's the big deal.
Yeah. Well, and you saw the signage. It was just recently installed along the Camino Real, which is a great attribute. A huge, huge selling piece of information for the public, and just to see where it actually ran through the county. That took a couple of years to put together, and it took 12 years to get it up. But it's well worth the wait.
We have 42 miles of the Camino Real in El Paso. It's about a 1,600-mile event from Mexico City up to northern New Mexico, Baton Brown Taos. And that whole road would be nothing if it didn't go through El Paso. But it does.
It does.
So therefore, we get to claim it as ours. You know, Jim, a lot of people in other parts of the world think the Camino Real is theirs. We have it, too. I mean, you know that.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing what it is. I even went on a portion of it up in New Mexico by Socorro.
And it's clean. You can see the trail in the desert. And hey, look, it's there. And those guys think they have the Camino Real. Well, you do, but you're not using it.
Yeah. Well, one of those pictures that I found when I was online with the Yale University was an old picture along the Rio Grande River, which we posted on Facebook. And it shows the road along the Rio Grande, which most people really are convinced that that's where the Camino Real went or ran, as well as the Butterfield Trail when it came through.
And the only issue on that is you over by Osarco is occasionally they'd have floods.
Yeah.
And they'd have to come up the Camino Real from Mexico and not cross at Hart's Mill. They'd have to go around Mount Cristo Rey.
Well, they got
to
get an I-10, though.
Now they do I-10, up to I-25. All right, we're about to take a break here. There is a news release on El Paso History radio show on Facebook. It'll give you all the details. There should be a news piece this evening on KVIA with some more details on that. So we are launching El Paso History on TV as of today. You'll see the first piece probably within about the next 2 months. And we're talking a whole lot of history, and here it comes. And we want to thank the people who have volunteered to help us financially. And if you'd like to get involved, we have a GoFundMe campaign. The details are actually on GoFundMe, El Paso History TV. GoFundMe.com, El Paso History TV. And you can find it. All right, Gabe, we haven't talked to you much this hour, and we're going to have to move on to some other things. Put Gabe's mic on there, Sergio, because we have to have Gabe pick the special. Gabe, the special at Pepe's today.
Oh, we forgot all about that.
No, here it is.
All right, we're going to pick combination plate.
Where's that microphone?
Windstorm in here.
Okay, we're going to pick, we're going to pick combination plate number one.
Number one is the combo.
Roll taco, red chili cheese, enchilada, tamale, chile con carne, frijoles, slaw, and rice.
Dang, you almost sound like you can speak Spanish.
Oh, yes, I can. You know, it's been wonderful. Another wonderful part of the commission is that a lot of bilingual people here, so when we need to communicate with engineers in Mexico, no problem.
That makes it easier, doesn't it?
Idiomas.
There's history everywhere, and we're going to keep talking about it until we get it right. And that might take us a while.
It's yours, huh?
And we want to thank everybody who was interested in our history for listening today. And also take a look at that GoFundMe page if you have some interest in that. We could use some help. All right, taking a break here, Melissa Sargent. Shall we do that?
We shall do that.
And we're going to come back and look at Facebook and look at all kinds of things.
I'm putting up Gabe and Jim's picture, and I'll have Bernie's picture up, too.
We got to do trivia. We both forgot about trivia.
Oh,
3, 2, 1, trivia. Hey, what's a trivia question?
Yes, I have two of them, don't I?
I forgot it. You forgot it. We didn't all forget it, though.
I was busy while you were all chatting.
Let's do trivia.
That's
trivia,
right. Okay.
Trivia.
All right. Our first question is for an El Paso Gold DVD or $28 in food Pepe's and Canutillo. The question is, what local TV channel and TV show is going to be broadcasting the new El Paso History TV segments?
You just want to know which channel?
I'm going to say it. Segments. Okay.
Just which channel? That's the question?
What TV channel and what TV show?
Okay.
And then the second question is, what historic organization is helping with the El Paso History TV show?
Oh, we know that.
Yeah, we know that.
They've been around a long time.
So call us up at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Have you ever wondered what the highest city in Texas is? I know, it's probably a loaded question. Get it? Loaded. Most people would probably think it's Austin, but it's actually Fort Davis. At over 5,000 feet, it's the highest town in Texas, and also one of the most beautiful rides we do all year. The weather is cool, the mountains are majestic, and the sky? Well, there's nothing like that sky. By day, it looks like you can see forever, and by night, God puts on a special effects show complete with shooting stars. Once you see it, you'll never forget it. The fort, now largely restored, has been there since 1854. The Harley Owners Group, also known as the Hogs, will be there this weekend. If there was ever a ride that was worth buying a Harley just to take, it's this one. The adventure starts at BarnettHarley.com or when we hand you the keys to your new Barnett Harley Davidson. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
I'm Devin. I deliver sandwiches for Jimmy John's.
Freak Town. Population Devin.
We'll deliver one sandwich.
Minimum freak.
Or hundreds of sandwiches.
Infinity freak.
However many you want.
You're mayor of Freak Town, Devin. Freaky fresh, freaky fast. Jimmy John's. Freak yeah.
I'm Tammy. I get to Jimmy John's early every day.
Freak-a-doodle-doo.
To bake bread fresh.
Freak-a-doodle-dough.
And we keep on baking throughout the day, so it's always fresh for our customers. That's all.
Toodaloo, freak-a-doo. Freaky fresh, freaky fast, Jimmy John's, freak yeah!
When the need for senior care arises, there's no place like home. Your loved ones should never have to give up living at home. Visiting Angels will provide home care for your mom or dad at home up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You'll select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. Look up visitingangels.com or call 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Franchises are available. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got history on the brain today. A lot going on. Next week coming in here, we're going to have the 12 Travelers coming in with Jody Schwartz and Presa Dedekup, and they're going to talk about the 12 Travelers. And we're going to have the Tom Lee Institute coming in. I think Adair may make it. I have to get the confirmation from her. But we're going to hear some Tom Lee history, and also, what is the Tom Lee Institute doing in their October month called Tom Lee Month? That'll be interesting. That's September 8th next week. September 15, a couple of UTEP professors coming in named Shepherd and Cartwright, PhDs, and they're going to talk about border studies and also History Day at UTEP, plus an essay contest. And what got into that is about El Paso history. September 22nd, the Carta people. We talked about the Camino Real. The Camino Real Tierra Adentro turns out to be, in Spanglish, Carta.
Ah.
Carta.
Like Carta.
Carta is the Spanglish
like
version of what is the Camino Real thing. But they're going to come in and tell their story and what they're up to, because that's a gorgeous history. And Waco Tanks, we got the superintendent coming in to explain some of the history at Waco Tanks. Plus, Waco Tanks is having their annual interpretive fair coming up in November, and that's something to behold, because they got stuff going on. What do you got?
Well, you've got, we were talking about the mountains earlier. We've got the Weiler Aerial Tramway State Park's going to have a couple of things going on. They've got the women's hike tomorrow, and that's going to be at 7 a.m. for women only, and that's going to be $4. Then you also have the outdoor cooking workshop, which will be September 8th at 12 p.m., and they will cover the basics of Dutch oven cooking, and you must RSVP by calling the park. And then on the 12th of September at 16th, they're going to have Art at the Park, and they're going to be having craft materials for people to create animal masks. So give Diana a call out there at 562-9899 for one of those events. You know, she can give you a lot more details, and they got even more stuff coming up.
Well, Tramway is an interesting place. I was up there about 3 weeks ago, and it was hot, but it was okay because you're up there with a breeze hitting you. What a view. It's a live map up there.
This time of year is getting really nice.
Hey, Jim Tolbert, have you ever taken a hike or taken the tramway then a hike?
Oh, I've done that. Most of the time it's taking a hike up there and then using the tramway to come back down.
Because your legs need it, huh? But if you didn't park a car at the base station, you didn't have to walk down that road.
Well, that's right.
Uh-huh. You've done that a few times. I have, too. But the tramway, Gabe, have you ever done that?
Oops. I'm on.
Yeah, you're on. Yeah.
Okay. Something fell off here. And
that's
I'm
just your headphones died, but you can manage.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, of course I have. I've been up to the tramway and enjoyed every minute. The beautiful view from the top.
Did you ever take a hike from or to the tramway?
Well, you know, I had an eccentric uncle, and we would park our car at Scenic Drive, and then we would climb or walk up along the spine of the mountain all the way to the tramway.
And then come down?
And then come back down the same way. Now, as a young boy, we did this, and I remember seeing a whole bunch of fossils in the rocks.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And very interesting things. And I went up there recently. I couldn't find them anymore. So I'd like
down,
to,
a lot of them are down toward the front. Jim can find them for you.
No,
you,
absolutely.
You know where the fossils are.
Yeah, right well, around you, the scenic point.
You mentioned your uncle. What? Now, he had some stories in a bar he ran for.
No, no, no. My grandfather. You might, some of you listeners out there, remember the old Papagayo Motel on Alameda Street.
Okay.
My dad and my uncle owned that. And my grandfather ran another Papagayo on Donovan Street, close to Griggs, where Griggs used to be.
Oh, okay.
And then we had a little cantina in San Juan, which is a little community between Bassett Center and Fox Plaza. It was a real, it's still a real poor community, something like Segundo Barrio. And I would go into my dad's bar after my grandfather gave it to him, and I would see like old guys come in there, and they didn't have arms or missing a leg or a foot. And, you know, I didn't think much about it. And as time went on, and of course, as I got older, I started putting two and two together. And I realized that these old guys were part of the Mexican Revolution that weren't invited back into Mexico afterwards. Oh, and they would sit in my dad's bar in a corner, and then they would hold their cigars or cigarettes in a special way so that when they were fighting in Mexico, or the ember couldn't be seen at night. And they would hold their cigarettes in a special way and puff their cigarettes. And I didn't put all this together until many years, but it was really interesting. You'd see guys there with, you know, maybe an eye missing and a leg missing, an arm missing. And nobody could ever really tell me, you know, what's going on here? And as a young boy, I didn't realize it until you just put two and two together.
Yeah.
And then you realize these guys fought in the Mexican Revolution.
That's what it was.
And I'm talking about the 60s, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
The early 60s when they were still hanging around.
They were
around
young men back then.
I was a young boy. You're running around San Juan without shoes and just having a grand old
time.
Well,
the stories of the of history in this town are just amazing. They're everywhere. And a lot of them are still in family archives, like you're talking. This is all oral history you're talking. But some people still have pictures that they can't find, don't know about. There was something in publication this morning that they found a notice behind a wall in Silver City about some event that went on in El Paso in 1912 or something. Mm-hmm. And they brought it up and looked at it, and that was an interesting thing to see. So there's history everywhere. So if you have the duty of taking an attic apart from some ancestors who's lived for a long time, take very careful care on the letters and the newspaper clippings and the pictures. And stuff like that. Bernie, you're doing that with inventories now, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
You're finding stuff like that.
Oh, it's fascinating. Some what some of the people collect. You know, some of which you go, really, you wanted to collect that? But other people's like, whoa, you have that in your inventory?
You know, one of the weirdest things I've seen that was collected, and I didn't understand they did this, they collected human hair and made braided
jewelry.
Yeah, braided jewelry
watch,
out of it.
Yeah, they made jewelry. They made watch fobs. Especially if somebody that they lost and such. It was a memory piece.
And they got their hair sitting there.
I mean, yeah.
That's just amazing.
I still have my hair from when I was probably 6 years old when it got cut. Because I got it tangled up in some burrs. Yes.
There I go.
Historic, that was another time.
You have historic hair. All right, we're going to move on, take a break here. But I want to thank the crowd in the control room. Sergio has been working incredibly hard this morning. The kid put him through the paces from 9 to 10.
Yeah.
Now we got him from
he was wiping his
10
brow.
To 12. Well, there's a lot to do in here. Because Andrew reconfigured all the mics to put them on Facebook. And so we had to take all that back over and put it back into reality. And Shelley Sutherland in there doing
that's
all
right.
The phone duty. Yay, Shelley. And 1, 2, 3, the man's name is Sergio Valenzuela. Sergio Valenzuela.
Oh, I'm sorry.
1, 2, 3, Sergio Valenzuela.
Hello.
There we go. Whatever.
I was missing an action.
I
yes.
screwed up.
I was with the gentleman in the bar. I was holding my cigarette back.
And you were missing part of your
yeah, no, I'm on Facebook. I'm busy on Facebook here. So
don't be it.
Oh, yeah, busy.
And that whole news release is on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
If you missed the announcement, it's El Paso History on TV.
That's right.
We, myself, Bernie Sargent, Bernie's with the Pioneer Association as president. My company is Capstone Productions. We have been contracted to put together TV pieces, and we're going to put them on the internet for free for curriculum. That was the original plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sort of figured out, well, you know what? This is what Leon used to do in the old days. If we shorten them up a little bit, I'll bet you we can talk Channel 7. And sure enough, we have. Channel 7 has agreed to air them once they see them, because they'll put them on their air and share them with everybody. So we're going to put El Paso History on TV all over the place. That's what the big announcement is. All right, taking a break, coming back. The trivia is still out there if somebody wants to fool with it.
It's like, what local TV channel and TV show is going to be broadcasting the new El Paso History TV segments?
Oh, I heard that.
Right. And then what historic organization is helping out with this program or the El Paso History Show TV show
Those
segments?
Are the questions?
Those are the simple questions. We talked about them.
Get the Peppies and the That's DVDs
right.
and they call us up.
On 915. Pardon?
No, I can answer those.
Oh,
but you're a ringer. We can't give you
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. But not with ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology actively invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you. The needle in the haystack.
Try ZipRecruiter now for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776. Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we've come to that portion of our program where we tell you what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
The wait is over. Find out who this year's Best of the Best Part 2 winners are.
In an exclusive interview, El Paso Mayor DeMargo talks tax hikes, the booming economy, and arena lawsuits, and more.
The story behind El Paso businessman Billy Abraham's arrest and the future of his buildings.
El Paso Inc. is El Paso's only locally owned business journal available for home and business delivery.
By going online to ElPasoInc.com.
Football is back, and so are brain injuries. That's the topic on ABC 7 Extra Sunday night at 10:35. Host Saul Saenz reviews the latest science and how local schools are trying to minimize the risk.
The guests are Dr. Justin Wright, Department of Family Medicine at Texas Tech, Dr. Alan Tyrock, Chief of Surgery and Trauma at UMC, and Bobby Ruby, the Athletic Director of Emmanuel Baptist Church with concussion helmets, which register hits during practice and games. Mm. And this is all hosted by Saul Saenz from ABC 7 Extra, and that's at Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m.
Going to put a helmet on you and register the impact.
Take a hammer.
But you still take the impact.
Yep.
Oh, I know how big that one was. That was a 4.7.
Oh,
easy. All right, history is abounding still here, and we got a lot to do. Gabe, you had a story you were working on I was going to ask you about. What was that?
I was going to talk a little bit about the valley here and how it came to be.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people don't know about the valley and how it came to be, and the Boundary Commission has a big part to play in it. As we define the boundary. Now, the Rio Grande flowed mostly in the spring because after the summer melts, the snow melts in the mountains, the water would come down and flood communities. So the Boundary Commission played a very important role in helping El Paso develop, because if these floods would come down, they'd wipe out your crops and then you would have lost, you know, some of your income. So when these floods would happen, they were devastating to the community. So In order to define the boundary better, the Boundary Commission worked with Mexico. Of course, Mexico is our partners. The Boundary Commission is an organization that cooperates with another country. A lot of times, you know, we're trying to defend ourselves from outside influences. But the Boundary Commission cooperates with the with Mexican. We work closely with Mexican engineers. And we straightened out the river and built levees, and then these farms could develop and contribute to the economy of El Paso. Not only here, but like in the lower Rio Grande Valley, the Rio Grande would flood out huge farms and ranches, and the development of those communities were really improved by the Boundary Commission and the work that we've done in the past. So like in El Paso, of course, we have our levees to protect these now a lot of homes and farms.
The Boundary Commission has been doing this for a long time, so you have seen everything. You have seen the Rio Grande move.
Oh,
in El Paso a few times.
Oh,
does it?
Yes.
Did it? I mean, now it's in concrete. It's not going anywhere.
No, just a little part is in concrete.
Yeah, but I mean,
4 miles.
But that's the part that used to be upsetting politically. That used
to
move a lot.
Yes.
Is the same thing done down in the lower Rio Grande Valley?
Oh, yes, yes. It did happen in the lower Rio Grande Valley.
Did they move a lot of acreage around when they?
No, they did it different down there. What they did is they revetted the river. They put rock and old cars and fences and all kinds of stuff to keep the river where it should be.
Old cars?
Yes, they would throw anything into the river along the bank,
okay.
And then the silt would bind around it and stabilize
it. And turn it into a riverbank. Oh,
yes, that's what happened.
Oh, mm-hmm. Hey, we have a guy who wants to do the trivia. He woke him up.
Oh, my gosh.
His name is John.
Woke me up.
John's on the radio. Talk to John, Melissa.
Hey, John, thanks for waking me up.
Okay, I'm glad to be listening. Great program this morning.
Thank you. Well, since you woke me up, which question did you want to answer? The one about the local TV channel and TV show, or the one about what historic organization is helping them?
I think the first one is the easiest one.
You got it. Okay. Which channel, TV channel and TV show is doing this?
Okay. KVIA is the station.
You got it.
And the second part, I think this is it. El Paso History on TV?
Yes, I'll take that.
It'll go in their newscast.
It'll go in the newscast.
That was the question in the news. We're going to give it to him
But
anyway.
I'll give him. Hey, he got the first one. I'm happy.
So he gets a DVD or a Pepe.
Yeah, do you want Pepe's or DVD?
Well, you know, I won a DVD about a month ago. I'm probably not eligible to pick one up.
You got to have 60 days, I think.
Oh.
Shelly will tell you the details.
Yeah, Shelly can figure it out for you.
Even if I won one about a month ago?
Well, she'll tell you. I think it's 60 days. Shelly will tell you that.
Okay, good.
We're going to pretend you won, and she'll let you know.
Okay. Real quick, let me just say hi to Jim and to Gabe. I went to school with Gabe. We graduated. I had a business degree. Gabe got his civil engineering degree.
Oh. And this is John on the phone here.
Well, his last name, I don't know.
We don't know who you are yet. Maybe you'll tell us.
Okay, it's been a while, but one of these days we'll meet each other again, and I'll ask him about his older brother, Leo.
Oh, good. Yeah, my brother, yes.
All right.
Right.
A family event here. All right. So all right. What are we doing for you?
So do you want Pepe's, or do you want to try for another? Just in case.
No, well, Pepe's is too far away from me. I'll go for a DVD.
Okay, well, we have the ghosts. We have Tom Lee's
Give
El Paso.
Give him historic sites and markers.
Historic sites and markers.
That's a good one. You'll need
that
one.
That'll be a good one.
Okay, great.
Thanks for playing. Hold on, Shelly. We'll come on and tell you how legal you are.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
right, hold
you,
on.
John.
I'll hold on.
All right, thank you. Shelly, figure this guy out. I mean, he if he's been for the front desk when he comes to pick it up, they're the ones that will land on him. Because that's the only thing this radio station really gets irked about is if you mess up a prize. All right. Gabe Duran is here. Jim Talbot is here. Mr. Bernie Sargent. And to repeat the announcement, Bernie, what we're doing, history on El Paso History on TV, sum it up for people.
Yeah, it'll be a 2-minute segment. We're going to try to run as many as we possibly can so we can do it consistently and be a regular feature at 10 o'clock on ABC7, where news comes first.
You got to say
that plug, yeah.
Well, I think they're going to run at 10 o'clock on Wednesday nights. I believe that's what they agreed.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Well, they can move it anywhere they want.
But we'd like to have as many as possible to put on there so it just keeps moving and keeps perpetuating itself.
Well, this town needs to know its history, and there's no other way to do it. If something like this, or you feel like, you know, you got the inertia to go pick up a book, go for it.
Yeah.
But radio's easy, and TV's going to be easy. And so I think that'll work out quite well. Jim, do you remember Leon on the air? Were you in town then?
Yeah, I do remember it. Well, and that's what I was saying. I'm so glad that you're bringing this back, and I'm really excited to hear about your use of drones.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty simple now. To see a big church from the ground level only is kind of like, yeah, we've done that already. Let's see how. And the thing is, when you fly a drone over the missions, the Isleta mission and the Socorro mission and the Presidio Chapel Church, do you know the difference, Jim Talbert?
No, sir.
I do. But you know what? The Presidio Chapel is basically a box. It is shaped like a box. What is the shape of the Socorro mission and the Isleta mission and the Guadalupe mission? It's in the shape of a cross.
Of course, yes.
Mm-hmm. They're all different. And a mission church is built in that way on purpose. And I have flown it in a helicopter and done this. But now we'll drone these things. And you will see the huge difference on what they... You didn't know that, did you?
No,
see,
sir, I did not.
You tune
this
into
is
this
fantastic.
You tune into this show, you'll learn some stuff.
Yes.
And the way I learned that was by looking at it from a helicopter saying, well, look at that. I didn't know it.
And where's the altar located?
Oh, right in the transept, right in the middle.
Right, because Christ is the center of the church.
And, there, so. And in the one over in the box down near the Presidio Chapel, the San Elizario was built in slightly a square, maybe a little rectangle, but it's got four corners and that's it. Whereas the ones with the cross shape, corners everywhere. But the thing is, the Presidio Chapel was built for the soldiers. And it wasn't built for the natives. And when the Spanish would build a chapel and have the natives build it for them as a mission, they had them build a cross. And do you know what else? They quite often built it right on top of an old kiva. Did you know that? There's a kiva underneath the Socorro mission, according to people down there who think there's a kiva under there.
I'm not surprised.
Think about being a Spaniard and coming into a new country, and you want your religion to be their religion.
Yes.
So what do?
You put it in a sacred place.
Yes. You take over their sacred spots. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened in many a place around here. Churches are that way. And Bernie, or anybody who knows, what's the mission? Where is Senecu? It's gone. But
well, it's across the border. Almost directly south of Isleta.
And is it still a church?
From what I understand, no.
Okay, but that was another mission?
Yeah.
And so you had at the bottom end, you didn't have San Elizario for a long time, but at the bottom end you had the Socorro mission, then the Isleta mission coming upriver, then Senecu?
Yeah.
And then Guadalupe?
Yes.
And what happened was...
Well, there was also a Presidio on the south side of Juarez, too. They had two of them, one at San Elizario, one south of Juarez, and that was for the purpose of protecting the communities.
And it had a name, and it became a church and all that.
Yeah, I don't know the name of it.
Okay, so that's the Spanish history of the valley. You talk about the valley, Gabe. Before you guys got out your measuring sticks and tried to figure this valley out for the U.S. government, there was all this going on. And just correct me if I'm wrong, but tell me, what is this, the deciding factor on the U.S. border with Mexico? What is the line? Where is that line?
Okay. Now, there's two lines.
I know. What? Tell us.
There's the land boundary, what we call the land boundary, extending from, like, right at the corner of Sunland Park and Cristo Rey out to California. That's a land boundary. And then from El Paso down all the way down to Brownsville is the river boundary. So you have two distinctions.
What do you got there, Jim? Is there a tour?
Well, I was going to say that we're one of the events for Celebration of Our Mountains this year is the Grand Tour of El Paso Border History.
Oh.
And it's going to begin at boundary marker number 1 and be led by Mike Landis from the IBWC. From there, we'll go down to Hart's Mill and Old Fort Bliss and finally end up at the Chamizal. I know Gabe can tell us more about boundary marker number 1.
But oh, yeah.
Give, not only that, but what is the line down the river? What if the river moved a little bit?
Well, this is interesting because... Uh-huh. Now, if the river can move two ways, it can move slowly, which is like just what they call alluvium flow to one side slowly, the boundary moves with it. Now, if the river moves violently, each country can put the river back to where it was, and that's not the boundary if the river moves violently to one
that,
side.
That rule before.
And that's, yeah, it's Anson Mills the old guys, Emory, they talked about this because they said, well, we're making a river boundary, but what happens in the future if the river changes?
And it did.
And it did. Here in El Paso, there was a dispute with Mexico for over 100 years.
And you're talking a huge – how many acres was Chamizal?
Well, you know
– 400, I remember some number.
Yeah, it's around there.
It's huge.
And the two countries got together peacefully and settled a boundary difference.
And that's what the Chamizal Memorial is. It's a memorial.
Or it's a memorial. No, it's a memorial.
But it's not a monument.
Celebrating a peaceful resolution to a problem that both countries had.
They lost a lot of turf. Oh. Now, when you go into Mexico all the time, do you get to see where the old river was?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you drive right through there. If you're going over America's Bridge, you drive basically through the Chamizal.
Yes.
Because you're going through the park. It's on both sides. Uh-huh. You're driving through America's.
But what used to be the riverbed over closer to downtown Juarez is now full of soccer fields and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can see it just as you're going in. Yeah. If you're like downtown, down, if you go across America, the Stanton Street Bridge, you can see it there.
Yeah, you can see the old river channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's interesting there is that El Paso had an old dump, and it's right close to where the Delta Sewage Treatment Plant was.
Near the Coliseum.
Yeah, right there.
And the zoo.
Yeah. And that old dump, after the Chamizal was settled, some of it stayed in Mexico.
Oh.
So they got some of our trash over there.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
Which is interesting.
It wouldn't be the first time we dumped on Mexico.
And many many.
Pardon the expression.
Many of you remember that. You can drive on the border highway, which is now the Cesar Chavez Memorial Highway. And right around the old dump, the car would start bouncing up and down. Do you recall that? Because of the settlement of the old dump.
Yeah.
It wasn't too long ago that I was in Mexico and I was driving along the river. And then the old bumps were there on the Mexican side as well. So
also, when they built the zoo, they found a couple of elbows in the river bends and there was junk in them. And they had to clean that out to build a zoo in a couple of places. That's what I remember.
Yeah, I served on the Parks Board quite a few years ago. And one of the discussions we had is the park down there at Delta, which is built on the trash heap.
Yeah.
And they were having problems with the baseball fields and so on, sinking, rising, and lowering and stuff.
And part of my engineering projects, I was one of the engineers that built that long canal that runs along the border highway. And we actually had to go in there and remove all the trash to build a canal. Yeah, otherwise, the canal would crack all up water would
terrible.
Be going everywhere. Yeah, so that was interesting.
But have you been on that border highway in Mexico, though, since they fixed it up over there, though?
No, I haven't.
It's beautiful.
Oh, really?
Oh, I wish our highway was as nice over there on that side with all the statues and everything. It's very nice.
Yep. Now, we have to argue too much about statues. We could never get
Gosh. Yeah, I mean, they put them up. Oh, let's put a statue. There's a new one.
Oh, I don't like him. You can't put him up there.
I know.
Yeah, and one of them is Oñate.
Oñate, Pancho Villa.
Exactly what I'm saying.
The Native American.
They put up the history. They don't put up the politics.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I was going to mention the greatest teacher that any kid has is his parents.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So we should take time to teach our kids and our grandkids about the history that your personal family went through so that they can start making these connections in El Paso history.
Well, label the pictures at least, please.
That's what the dinner table's for.
Yeah, perfect.
And a scrapbook.
Absolutely true.
And make a scrapbook.
Without the cell phones.
Yeah, you pull their little headphones off. You take everybody's cell phone away, and you sit down, you have a conversation, or play cards or something, or just a game, and just make it a conversation. And they're not going to want to sit there, but you're going to make them listen.
Well, no, they actually, my grandsons at least, they start asking me questions. You know, what was your grandfather like? What was your grandmother like?
Yeah, it's how you get them into it.
It's a good conversation to have. Okay, taking a break here one more time here. On the El Paso History Radio Show. I think we did all we could with trivia. That's the way that goes. By the way, we're going to go to Pepe's today, a bunch of us. And the special today is Gabe Duran picked it out. The special was number?
Combination plate number one.
Number one.
The one he says in Spanish, really cool.
What that means is that whatever price is on the menu comes down to $6.
That's right.
And that's a lot of food. You can take some of this home. You know that. All right. Jim Talbert, we'll be back in a minute. You got another story. I know you got at least one more story.
Tell us a story, Uncle Jim. Come on, tell us a story.
And look at Facebook. Yes, we have our news release up, a major announcement.
That's right.
El Paso History on TV.
And Gabe and Jim's pictures up and the links to the websites. And I even put Bernie's picture up.
And Bernie is all over the news release, so you got to read that and weep. Here.
Bernie's $100 bill picture's up.
All right, we shall be back in just a moment.
Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Download the app or text SKILL to 484848. Text SKILL to 484848 to try Babbel for free. That's SKILL to 484848.
Hey, this is Mario Lopez. So when planning to celebrate this Labor Day weekend, please make sure to plan for a safe ride home. Don't risk getting a DWI. Call a cab, call a friend, or just stay the night. Don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it, because a DWI could cost you up to $17,000 in fines and fees, jail time, and you could also lose your license. So plan while you can at SoberRides.org. Drink, drive, go to jail. A message from TxDOT.
Today is the day to get USAA life insurance, and for less than you may think. Visit USAA.com. Life insurance provided by USAA Life Insurance Company, San Antonio, Texas. Subject to state availability, issue limitations, and contract terms and conditions.
Our iHeartRadio Music Festival at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Listen to Win Your Way There, and you could score the ultimate VIP grand prize. Front row tickets, a Nightingale suite at the new Park MGM, and much more. Watch the two-night event only on the CW October 7th and 8th at 8, 7 Central.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Last year, over 3 million drivers switched to Progressive. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com today and find out if you could save.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I got a couple of minutes left here in this hour to let you know that you really need this little booklet called Celebration of Our Mountains, established in 1994, 2018 version. All kinds of neat stuff in it. The hikes are very well laid out, Jim. Jim Tolbert said Jim did a great job, whoever did this. Field trips everywhere. It's wonderful.
Oh, it is. It's just great. Yeah, I wrote the copy, but the designer is Morris Piddle.
Morris did a good job.
He did a fantastic
Thank
job.
You, Morris, and your sponsors on the back, Electric Company and El Paso Water. So there, and you've got McGoffin.
And McGoffin Home's got some great things going on. They have their Victorian Sci-Fi Book Club is kicking up again, so give them a holler down there. But they've also got something new, and it's called the Brain Trust Bag Lunch. And it's something to do if you're looking for something to do on your lunch break at work or just something to do at lunchtime, is get down there. Listen, every second Wednesday of every month, the McGoffin Home will provide a place for you to have your lunch. You just have to bring your own lunch. And they're going to have different talks, and they're going to have staff that will tell you stories about El Paso's history and the McGoffin Home history. So it's a great place, you know, hang out. Do something instead of just sitting there and watching the TV or just being boring time. Call them at 533-5147. That's McGoffin Home, stateside, and the visitor center.
And Jim Tolbert will be putting them in his little book, you know, no question.
Yes,
right?
He will.
I mean, it's historic as you can get in El Paso, McGoffin Home.
Yes.
Absolutely is on the list of things to do for CelebrateElPasoHistory.org.
And CelebrateElPasoHistory.org, we will be telling you what's coming up on our TV pieces as we get them done. Bernie, I don't think we're going to be able to do them one after the other forever.
No.
We're going to do a group of five or six and a group of five or six, and sooner or later we will cover everything, and that entire group will be posted on site on YouTube.
Yep.
So if a teacher or a grandparent like Gabe would like to explain to their children,
old grandparent,
he must be 37. But the point is, if you want to teach somebody something, you need a teaching aid sometimes.
Yeah,
we're going to have these for free online on YouTube.
That's right.
So I mean, in the past I've made videos and tried to sell them. Kind of done with that. I'll still sell you a DVD of our old stuff, but this is a giveaway, free on ABC7, and then free when we get to online. That's a cool thing.
I think it's a great idea. I really do. And the quality of the video was just fantastic. The first one we did, the little tease.
Oh yeah, no,
I like that.
That's going to work out well. And you can go online now to our Facebook page and see a 45-second clip of Bernie pitching you for money.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
And then you criticize my mustache for being in disarray.
Well, I see, but I didn't even notice that. I watched you for hours in the edit room. It looked like Bernie to me.
Oh, it's always so in disarray.
Okay. Everybody else, EPHistory.com. We're going to Pepe. Shelley, thank
going
you.
To Pepe.
Sergio, very much thank you in there. Everybody, I'll see you next week on the History Show. Jim, Gabe, guys, thanks a lot.
Super.
Pepe's Pepe. Bound. Pepe.
See you
Pepe.
Next week.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by EPHistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.